Hello and welcome from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. This podcast you're about to hear was recorded at our Booragoon campus. So sit back, relax, and enjoy what God has to say to you.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, all your works shall praise your name. This morning, Father, we bow before you, we worship you. We declare in our hearts your greatness, your sovereignty in all things. We proclaim the centrality and the sovereignty of Jesus as the one through whom all things have been created, the one in whom all things hold together. From him and through him and to him are all things. And so we worship you, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit. We pray, Lord, that as we look into your word this morning, that you would be our teacher, that you would give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to your church today. We pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Thanks to our worship team this morning once again. A tremendous job. Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to you all. Welcome to those of you joining us online. And amongst our online community is dear Auntie Jen. Remember Auntie Jen? I was often sitting down the front here. Auntie Jen no longer able to be with us, but tell you what, she tunes in faithfully every week with Karen Ingram by her side, and we remember Auntie Jen with great fondness, and the many others who are not able to be with us anymore but still join us online. It's a wonderful blessing. Well, this month we return once again to the book of Acts, and those of you who are new to Mount Pleasant, I guess will not be aware that over the last year or two, we've begun this journey through the book of Acts. Whether we get to the end or not will remain to be seen, but the strategy has been we kind of dip into this book of Acts just for a few weeks at a time rather than kind of tackling the whole book in one go. And so many of you will be familiar with this graphic. The other one. Back. Thanks, Mark. There's a little girl running with such life and joy in her heart. Don't you love that? Such freedom of spirit. It's a great pictorial image for this series, Alive in the Spirit. And I wonder if you think of yourself like that. You know, Jesus says, you've got to come, when you come to God, come as a little child. I wonder if you see yourself like that and think of yourself as being alive in the Spirit. Would you describe yourself that way? Yes, I'm a person who is alive in the Spirit. Well, our message title today is totally available. And again, I wonder if you're honest, if that's your posture before the Lord today, to say, Lord, I'm totally available. Are you totally available to do whatever the Lord might call you to do? Are you totally available to go wherever the Lord might lead you to go? These are quite challenging questions, aren't they? Because pretty much all of us have a whole host of existing commitments to keep. We have jobs, we have study commitments, we have appointments, we have bills to pay, mortgages, busy schedules. We've kind of organized ourselves to have busy lives. You know, I'm guilty of that myself. Even this last week, I've had a number of people ask if we can catch up, and it's with a bit of sadness in my heart that I say to them, I'm really sorry, but I'm not available. One of the reasons I'm not available this week is because I was preparing a message for today about being totally available. The irony is not lost on me. You know, at one point I found myself on my knees in prayer in my study. If we can go to that next graphic, that's not me, it's not a selfie, but I was on my knees in prayer in my study at home saying, Lord, I want to be totally available to do whatever you want me to do. I want to be totally available to go wherever you call me to go. You ever pray that? I hope you do. It's a prayer of surrender. Not my will, but your will be done, Lord. You're the potter, I'm the clay. Have your way with me. Do whatever with me you want to do with me. I'm here to be used by you. Well, if you're like me, you pray those bold prayers from time to time, and then you start to think a bit more about the implications after you've prayed it. Do you ever do that? Lord, that thing I said about surrendering all. I do like living where I'm living. Just to throw that one in there. I kind of like our lifestyle, the lifestyle we have. And so then in my mind, I start to introduce some caveats to the terms of surrender. You know, the Lord sees our hearts. He sees our weaknesses. And, you know, my experience is that the Lord deals us with unexpected gentleness, actually. That He knows what we can deal with. And He wants to help us. He wants to gently help me, gently guide me along a pathway of growth in the direction of ever-increasing dependence. It's a lifetime journey. In the direction of ever-increasing surrender to Him. And so the Lord wants to lead us in this direction of being totally available to Him. But there are a couple of key barriers to availability we need to overcome. And before we look into our passage this morning, I want to share these barriers with you in the form of two illustrations. And the first one is one many of you would have heard before. It's been around for a while. It's the parable of the Mexican fisherman. Let me share it with you. An American investment banker was at the pier of a small coastal Mexican village when a small boat with just one fisherman docked. Inside the small boat were several large yellowfin tuna. The American complimented the Mexican on the quality of his fish, asked how long it took to catch them. The Mexican replied, only a little while. And the American then asked, why didn't he stay out longer and catch more fish? The Mexican said he had enough to support his family's immediate needs. The American then asked, but what do you do with the rest of your time? The Mexican fisherman said, I sleep late, I fish a little, play with my children, take siestas with my wife, stroll into the village each evening where I sip wine and play guitar with my friends. I have a full and busy life. The American scoffed. I'm a Harvard MBA. I'd say this with an American accent, but I'm not very good at accents. I could help you. You should spend more time fishing. And with the proceeds, buy a bigger boat. With the proceeds from the bigger boat, you could buy several boats. Eventually, you'd have a fleet of fishing boats. Instead of selling your catch to a middleman, you would sell directly to the processor, eventually opening your own cannery. You would control the product, processing, and distribution. You would need to leave this small coastal fishing village and move to Mexico City, then LA, and then eventually New York City, where you can run your expanding enterprise. The Mexican fisherman asked, but how long will this all take? To which the American replied, 15 to 20 years. But what then? Asked the Mexican. The American laughed and said, well, that's the best part. When the time's right, you'll sell your company stock and become very rich. You'd make millions. Millions? And then what? The American said, well, then you would retire, move to a small coastal fishing village where you would sleep late, fish a little, play with your grandchildren, take siestas with your wife, stroll to the village in the evenings where you could sip wine and play the guitar with your friends. It's a powerful parable, isn't it? But, you know, often driven by greed or ambition or something else, we overcomplicate our lives. And the overcomplication of our lives creates a level of busyness that is a barrier to our availability to God and to the relationships that are most important to us. That's the first illustration. You ready for the second one? This is a graphic that my neighbour sent me this week. I've got a dear Hindu neighbour down the back. And he sent this to me, and it seemed relevant for this morning. So, in a minute, I'm going to play. This turns into a little video, but this, I'll just get your head around this. This is sort of personal time allocation, and it's about to fast forward from 1930 to 2024. So you see at the top there, a lot of allocation of family and school and friends, and then just take note of the line down the bottom which says online. Now, my disclaimer is that I don't know where this came from. I do. It came from my neighbour, but I don't know its original source. He didn't make it up, I don't think. He maybe did. But I'm not sure how scientifically accurate this is. But I think it's at least indicative of a trend. So now, thanks, Mark. Let's play this little graph. It just goes for 1 minute. You see, family is just getting smaller, actually. It's interesting. Even into the 60s. And then we hit the 1990s. Wow. What do you think about that? The way we spend our time is important. The things we prioritize. And often we overcrowd our lives with the wrong things. And the overcrowding of our lives becomes a barrier once again to our availability to God and to the relationships that are most important to us. Well, with these things in mind, let's now turn to our passage. It's Acts chapter 8. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Well, I want to just make some observations this morning from this passage about Philip's life that I want to suggest give us three keys to availability. And the first of those keys is openness, and more specifically, openness to the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 tells us, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We see this leading of the Spirit with great clarity three times in this passage, actually. Verse 26 tells us that an angel of the Lord gave Philip some very specific instructions. That's the first of them. Then secondly, in verse 29, we see the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. And then finally, in verse 39, we see suddenly the Spirit of the Lord whisked Philip away, seemingly. Now, we know the book of Acts was written by Luke, who was a doctor, he was a smart guy, he was a clear, kind of intelligent, detailed researcher, a thinker. So it's interesting that he would write so matter-of-factly that an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Just comes out with it. He doesn't say, oh, an amazing thing happened. He just says, oh, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. As though this was nothing unusual or out of the ordinary. You know, I reckon if I were to stand up on one Sunday morning here and say, you know, the other day, an angel of the Lord told me to drive down to Mandurah, there'd be a bit of skepticism in the room, I reckon. A few of you'd be thinking, oh, yeah, no, probably not. Probably not really what happened. And fair enough, I've never seen an angel. Apart from every morning when I wake up and see my wife's face. Hallelujah. It's like an epiphany. There's a glow. No, I won't go on. But you know, I've spoken to many people from this church over the years who've told me they've seen angels in our midst as we worship here. You know that? I believe them. One lady said to me one time, there was an enormous, enormous angel hovering over me, behind me, as I was preaching. Other people have said they've seen angels kind of hovering up in the corners of the building. I've never seen such a thing. So I don't know what you think about that. Maybe there's some skepticism in the room. But certainly as we read the scriptures, it seems that the appearance and the guidance of angelic beings is not unusual, actually. And we might suggest, in fact, it's to be expected by those who are following Jesus. Do you have an openness in your heart to such things? Or are you skeptical and disbelieving? Well, Philip follows this angelic instruction, and then he receives a second instruction, this time from the Spirit, who simply says, Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. You know, there are some people who believe that God only ever speaks through his word, through the scriptures, and that might be your view. Well, that's a view. What I would say about that is that the Spirit of God speaks primarily through his word and will never contradict the word of God. But the Spirit of God, I'd suggest also, is not limited to the words contained in a book. Surely. The Holy Spirit did not say to Philip, here, look up this verse in the Old Testament that says, go to that chariot and stand near it. It's not what happened. There's no such verse. The Spirit simply gave Philip an instruction, dropped a thought into Philip's mind. And Philip had learned over time to be open, actually, open, attentive to the promptings of the Spirit. Don't you think the Spirit of God can do the same for you even this morning as you sit here? Yes. Drop a thought into your mind. A thought that says, you need to call this person. You need to talk to that person. You need to encourage this person. Are you open? Are you attentive? Are you listening? All through Revelation, Jesus says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What's the Spirit? What thought is the Spirit dropping into your mind this morning about something that you need to do? This was Philip's experience in Acts 8. If you want to live your life in such a way that you're alive in the Spirit and totally available, then you'll nurture new levels of openness to the things of the Spirit. Here's a second key to availability from this passage. It's what I've called flexibility. Now, we don't know too much about Philip. Scholars generally agree that there's more than one Philip, actually, in the New Testament. So the Philip of Acts 8 may well be the Philip of Acts 6 that we looked at last time we were in this series. But he's almost certainly not the Philip called by Jesus in John 1. That's a different Philip, just to be clear. The Philip we read about in Acts 8 is often described, understandably, from this passage as Philip the Evangelist. And he has a particular calling on his life that gives him a high degree of flexibility. We see in verse 40, here's a guy, he just has the freedom and the means to just travel about, just preaching the gospel in various towns and villages across Israel. And as we read this passage, it's interesting to note the immediacy with which Philip responds to the leading of the Spirit. The angel says, head south to the road that goes to Gaza. The next verse says, so he started out. You see that? It's easy to skip over that, but what we see here is a wonderful step of immediate, obedient faith for Philip. He doesn't even know where he's supposed to be going. Just head for the road is the instruction. So with that very limited information, he sets out in faith, trusting the Lord will lead him from there. It's often been said that when the Lord leads us, he doesn't give us the whole picture, much as we'd like the whole picture, or maybe we wouldn't, but he just gives us the next step. Here it is again in verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. See, I'd want a bit more information from the Spirit. Why, Lord? What's going to happen when I stand near the chariot? Is someone going to meet me there? What's this all about, Lord? That's it. I'm calling it off. It's ridiculous. I'm not going to go and stand. But no, Philip doesn't do any of that. What Philip does, we see in the next verse, it says, then Philip ran up. He ran up to the chariot. See, I think Philip was reveling in the adventure of following the leading of the Spirit of God and was exhilarated by it. He ran in response. He knew the Spirit was guiding him. He knew he was in the very heart of God's plan, which is a wonderful place to be, in the middle of God's will. So as we read a passage like this, we need to be careful about being overly prescriptive about the example of Philip's life. You know, God had a particular call on Philip's life that required a much higher degree of flexibility than is realistic for most of us. Most of us don't have the freedom just to go wandering around in the desert and across the land preaching the gospel. We've got responsibilities and other things. But this morning, if you feel like your life's been reduced to some kind of a hamster wheel-like existence, where you're working longer hours to earn more money to sustain a particular lifestyle, then maybe the Lord's prompting you even today to make some changes to your life in order to enable and discover a new degree of flexibility, to be led by the Spirit, to have the freedom and the agility to respond quickly to the promptings of the Spirit as Philip did. Or maybe in your work life, you're exactly where God wants you to be, in a workplace where he wants to lead you and prompt you and guide you right where you are with the people that you work with day by day. All right, a final key to availability is what I've termed interruptibility, which I think is not even a real word. That'll be underlined with a red squiggly line in your Word document if you try and type that one. So I'm not sure if you picked this up in the reading, but in essence, this whole encounter is based on an interruption. Philip is following angelic instruction to head to a particular road, and as he is on his way, there's this interruption. He's on his way, he meets this Ethiopian eunuch who incidentally also was on his way home. He's been interrupted. And we see this a number of times in Jesus' ministry. When he's on his way to a certain location and something or someone interrupts him, it turns out that the interruption is something of great significance. Jesus had been asked to come and heal Jairus' daughter. As he was on his way to that healing, he was interrupted, remember, by a woman who touched the hem of his garment. We looked at that a few weeks ago. There were times when Jesus was quite willing to be interrupted because he was led by the promptings of his heavenly Father. The interruption, in so many cases, was actually a work of the Spirit. And sometimes, I reckon we're so intent on completing a task or reaching a destination or achieving a goal, we become single-minded and tunnel-visioned in our focus. And in the process, we become annoyed by the interruptions and we miss the opportunity that the Lord is presenting. We lack this quality of interruptibility and we miss the truth that very often the journey is as important as, if not more important than, the destination. In the case of this interruption to Philip's travels, you know, he shares the gospel with a high-ranking Ethiopian official. This guy's the finance minister for the Queen of Ethiopia. Philip tells him about Jesus, shares the gospel with him in a way that transforms his life. Because you see, Philip is open to the Spirit. Because he's open, because he's flexible, because he's interruptible, he baptizes this guy. That wasn't even on Philip's radar when he woke up that morning. Now, we don't hear of the Ethiopian again, in the scriptures at least. We don't even know his name. But interestingly, Irenaeus, who's a Greek bishop writing in the 2nd century, he writes that this man then became a missionary to the Ethiopians, went back to his homeland. The implication is that this encounter on the road led to an entire nation being impacted, actually. It's the power of a God-appointed interruption. So as we close this morning, let me encourage you just to reflect on these questions. Why don't we just bow together in prayer? Why don't you ask the Lord these questions? Am I open to the Spirit of God? Am I open, Lord? Am I open to your leading? Am I open to your guiding me into specific conversations, specific encounters for the sake of the kingdom, even this morning, even this week? And Lord, do I have enough flexibility built into my life to be able to move with speed and agility in the direction that the Lord leads me? Holy Spirit, am I nurturing this quality of interruptibility, able to recognize that sometimes the inconvenient interruption is actually the presentation of a God-given opportunity? And finally, do I need to make some changes to how overcomplicated my life is, how overcrowded my life is, how overly busy I've become? Is the Lord calling me to simplify my life, to make some more room for me to be available for His purposes? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, teach us, help us, we pray. May we be those who truly are attentive to the promptings of the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Guide us as you will, lead us as a people. Help us, move amongst us. Have your way with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Our prayer is that what was said today inspires you and strengthens you in your faith. If you would like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, you can contact the team during office hours on the number you can find on our website at mounties.org.au. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to having your company again soon. God bless.